This is an all or nothing.
All we ever try and do is put the ball in Aaron's hands because we know he's capable of putting up points.
Initially, I was watching Aaron just hoping he could buy himself some time.
Under pressure, rolling right.
I knew if I could get some space and get closer to the 40, that I was going to be able to get it to the end zone.
But when he threw it that much height, I was kind of a little concerned.
I just look up.
High and deep.
And this thing was just a rainbow.
I just locked in on the ball and tried to make a play.
It's a low percentage play, but I'm thankful that Richard came down with it.
Caught for a touchdown. The Packers have won.
I ran down there.
Next thing I know, Richie's jumping up.
And then all of a sudden, he just went up.
I mean,
thing just stuck in his hands, and then I just lost it.
He's good, isn't he?
Unbelievable.
I mean, I've never been a part of a play like that.
I'm lost in words. I've never seen nothing like that before in my life.
Aaron Rodgers throwing up a prayer, and it's answered big time by Richard Rodgers.
I've never had a completed Hail Mary before. It's a good time for it.
Hit from behind, fumbled the football up for grabs, and it's recovered by the Packers. Sends it over the middle of the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae Adams.
A great moment. I know we'll always remember.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Laura Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. Now, it is difficult to put it all into words, but we're going to try our best here. A face mask penalty extended the game by one play, and the Packers made the Lions pay. Larry, in one word, can you please describe that final play?
Thought long and hard, Lauren. I came up with unbelievable. I'm actually working. I'm broadcasting the game. I'd already given up hope. I got to be honest, confess. I'd given up hope, and I'm thinking this kind of thought. I'm thinking, what am I going to talk to Coach McCarthy about after this game? He's going to be so disappointed. In fact, he may be disgusted, and it's just hard. You see the disappointment, the disgust, what have you, on his face, and I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about? What kind of questions can I ask? And this is occurring in front of me, and all I could say after a couple minutes was, unbelievable.
I agree. It was absolutely so exciting. I think my word is going to be defining. This is why I love the game of football.
I hope you're right. I defining.
I'm not going to try.
We'll find out. We'll
soon.
Find out, yeah. Over the next month.
You know, I just love the game of football and this team in particular because, you know, you work so hard and you prepare and it comes down to these defining moments. Can they do it? Will they do it? They did it. It was just so exciting. I absolutely loved it. Well, the 27-23 victory over the Lions is one fans, players, and coaches won't soon forget. I think the Packers running back John Crockett summed it up the best. I love this.
I mean, he's good, isn't he? Like, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, then you got the. It's just. I'm lost the words. I've never seen nothing like that before in my life.
In the pre-game warmups, I was out there messing around and threw some moon balls to Richard as high as I could, not to, 60 yards in the air, but throw some moon balls to him, and he. He caught two out of three, so I'm glad he made it to three out of four with that last one.
As Aaron said, Richard Rodgers was 3 of 4 on moon balls, but on the day that he caught all 8 passes thrown his way and finished with 146 yards receiving and the game-winning touchdown, it was good to see the Packers get big-time production from that tight end position.
Yeah, and with all the talk about the Packers' wide receivers and whether they can get open or not, you want to see him get open more? Throw the ball to the tight end a lot. He'll attract some coverage.
Well, call it miraculous, call it unreal, call it whatever you want, because at the end of the day, the Packers made the plays that they needed to do to put themselves in position to win this game. Now, it started with the play of their defense, which really spurred the offense.
Yeah, it did. A specific instance, especially in the second half, where the Packers scored a touchdown, and right away, Julius Peppers forces a fumble, Jake Ryan recovers, and the Packers go in and score again. Suddenly, that game that seemed hopeless at 20-0, the Packers are right back into it.
And winning the game just as time expires, or in this case, with no time left, that's the kind of stuff that dreams are made of.
I just watched the ball, almost hit the Raptors, and next thing I know, Richie's jumping up and bringing it down. I thought I was dreaming.
These are the games that make you appreciate football and being together with these guys. And the battle for 60 full minutes, literally, and 0 seconds on the clock to win the game that night is fun.
As Clay said, it was a battle for 60 minutes, and it appears the Packers are going to be locked in a battle for 17 weeks of the division title. The Packers are a half game back of the Minnesota Vikings entering play today. If the Seahawks beat the Vikings, the Packers will reclaim the lead in the division. Now, Larry, winning a game the way the Packers did on Thursday, is it possible for that to have a lasting impact on this team moving forward?
Well, you hope so. I don't really know. I never won a game like that. It was kind of a neat experience seeing the team I like win one that way. I really don't know. I think it could, in the sense that success breeds success. And as long as you experienced it, there's a greater chance you'll experience it again because it makes everybody feel good and more confident and so forth. You know, you wipe away the rest of the game. That one play changed everybody's attitude for the week to come and possibly more, as you mentioned.
Well, it was nice to be able to escape with a win, but the coach and the players are not pretending that there aren't things that need to be fixed here. Is it easier to fix mistakes coming off of a win?
Yeah, I think the atmosphere is just more positive. And I'll tell you a little secret. The coaches are in a better mood after a win. I mean, they know that the standard is always the same, but they're always in a better mood after a win, and certainly it's easier.
Still to come on Packers Today, we give you a VIP pass into the Packers locker room following the thrilling Hail Mary victory. Plus, Larry has an X's and O's breakdown on why the final play worked. Stay tuned. Packers Today, we'll be right back.
To Freeman. That was the Monday night miracle in the year 2000. In 2015, it's Rodgers to Rodgers for the Motor City miracle. We'll break it down in this week's Chalk Talk. The play ended a whole lot better than it started. The Lions are rushing just three, but somehow they split a pair of double teams and get some pressure. Thanks to a second effort from Don Barclay and Aaron Rodgers' mobility, the Packers stay alive. Meanwhile, downfield, all the Packers' wideouts are 4 and 5 yards deep in the end zone, drawing all the coverage, while Richard Rodgers is all by his lonesome.
It's written in the playbook as my job is to box out and Devontae's supposed to jump and I'm supposed to wait for a tip. So I might get an MA for that, but I'll take it, I guess.
Back upfield, Aaron is actually straddling the 35 when he launches one of the longest and highest passes these eyes have ever seen.
I just look up. I honestly, it was maybe 3 seconds of trying to find it, and I saw it, and this thing was just a rainbow.
At the pot of gold, Adams is in good position for a possible catch. Randall Cobb is ready for any rebound, but none of that is necessary as the Rodgers connection connects for a Packer victory.
That was fun to be a part of. You know, it was a great game. That's one of those games where you go out, you play as hard as you can, and you see what happens at the end. And tonight we were fortunate enough to come out with a huge play at the end.
And naturally, Lauren, there'll be a lot of folks say, well, the Packers got kind of lucky. However, if you look at that play real closely, and Scott Tolzien mentioned this to me after the game, there is nobody in the National Football League that could have made that throw like Aaron Rodgers did. How long, how high, how accurate, and then Richard Rodgers' catch, it was pretty special too. Not a lot of luck involved.
I agree. It was absolutely beautiful throw. Now, talking about the running game here a little bit, Coach McCarthy said that running back, John Crockett, gave the offense the spark that it really needed. What did you think of him?
Oh, I thought he played well. He added some energy to the running game. It was kind of interesting. When the Packers were getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings and Adrian Peterson, Crockett was Adrian Peterson. And I watched him at practice. I thought, wow, is he working? And a matter of fact, I mentioned it to Mike McCarthy, and obviously he felt the same way, got him out there.
talking about another young guy, rookie linebacker Jake Ryan. Now, you watched tape on him. What did you think of the way that he came out and played?
I think he started kind of slow, but as the game went on, had more of an impact. You could see his natural instincts, his ability to flow to the football, and of course, he recovered that big fumble.
Okay, earlier in the week, Randall Cobb and the others said that the Lions game would define their character. It wasn't perfect, but they never quit. I love that character trait, shows grit. Still to come, we break down what the Packers playoff picture looks like after the historic divisional win in Detroit. But first, Larry sits down and talks in depth with the leader of the Packers defense, Dom Capers.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Welcome back to Packers Today. Special treat. Dom Capers joins us here in our studio. And Dom, 12 years at the college level, 30 years in the NFL. What keeps you going?
I guess the love of the game. You know, we're all product of what we've done, and I still enjoy the competitiveness of getting ready every week for the game, and I don't know how you replace that 3 hours on Sunday. I also enjoy the relationship with the players. You know, when I think about it, from the time I was 6 years old, I've been involved with the team. Maybe the thing you would miss the most would be the relationship with the guys and the locker room and always on a coaching staff and so the interaction there. So I still enjoy that and enjoy it very much.
As you came up in the coaching business, if you had a position you were with more often than not, it was defensive back, secondary. How has that influenced you as you've gone on?
Well, I think when you're coaching back in the secondary, you have to be totally on top of all the formations, adjustments, and which is really the way the game's played now. I mean, you see wide receivers lining up in the backfield, and you see tight ends normally split out. You see running backs split outside. And so from a game plan standpoint, you have to be totally aware because you have to make all those adjustments. So, you know, I think I was very fortunate to coach the defensive backs for many, many years before I became a coordinator because it certainly influenced the way I try to develop a defense and the way I call defenses. It's a one-on-one matchup game nowadays, and you've got to be careful, okay, that you don't lose too many of those one-on-one matchups.
If there's a common thread throughout your career as a coordinator, it's taking that special talent and letting that talent show forth, and you can go back to Charles Woodson here, Rod Woodson, Jason Taylor in Miami, and all those guys have been the NFL player, defensive player of the year under you. Clay Matthews has come darn close under you. How do you go about doing that, taking that special talent and putting them in the right place at the right time?
Well, I think it's one of the real keys. To me, the biggest job that we have as coaches is deciding who our best 11 players are, and then trying to take and feature what they do the best. Used to be, I think, that you had a system and you tried to draft and fit guys into the system. I think it's more important now than ever that you have to fit the system to the guys that you have. And you've seen us, you know, over the last couple of years, I mean, with the move of Clay Matthews to inside linebacker. You've seen Mike Neal move from a down lineman to an outside linebacker. You've seen Julius Peppers come in who hadn't really dropped much and play an outside linebacker. The bottom line is trying to get the best people on the field and feature what they do best and give them an opportunity to make plays.
Dom, I consider this nothing short of coaching genius. Early in the 2014 season, you guys are struggling defensively, and over the bye week, you make Clay Matthews an inside linebacker. And that kind of, for the rest of us, kind of came out of the blue. How did that come about?
Well, we were struggling, okay, to get the run stopped, and you start to look for alternatives. So we felt like, you know, let's take what we feel is, you know, our best football player and put him in there, okay, and see if it doesn't strengthen us. Obviously, we had to play much differently on defense with Clay inside. Fortunately, Clay's the kind of guy that can adapt. You know, we used him in many different ways than what we did the linebackers before, but it kind of helped spur us and to where we started to ascend as a defense. And I really felt, you know, last year that we maybe played our best game of the season for 55 minutes, of the playoff game. And then unfortunately, the last 5 minutes, we didn't. But I thought through the whole playoffs and everything that we ascended as a defense. And, you know, in my mind, I'm hoping that we can continue to do that this year. As you enter the month of December, it's important that arrow's pointing up in terms of your play.
Now, Dom, I don't know if you agree with this, but it's kind of evolved, or general conventional wisdom says it's evolved into a passing league. And yet, you preach to your defense, job one is stopping the run.
Well, I've just always believed we can do a lot of things on defense if we can get the down and distance situations to where they're more predictable. It's so much easier if you can make the game one-dimensional. You know, our success here, when we've played the run well, we've been able to get after the quarterback more. And we've been able to affect the opponent's quarterback rating. And I've always felt, going back to when I was a head coach, that when you look at the Final Four teams, normally their quarterback rating differential is a big determining factor of those Final Four teams. If you have a really good quarterback and you have a defense that's tough on the quarterback, your chances of winning goes way up.
Dom, when you came in here in 09, I remember your first press conference and listening to you talk, and I thought, bingo, they got the right guy. My impression was, there's a guy that on Wednesday morning go in there and tell his defense what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and they're going to believe. How important is the communication end of your business?
I think it's maybe the most important thing. I think your credibility as a coach depends on your consistency with your players because you're in there with them every day. It's one of the things I enjoy. You get to know them. You get to see them and when they're up. You get to see them when they're down. So you find out how they're put together. And to me, it's the biggest challenge in coaching, all right, is having that ability to communicate and develop that belief and trust, because to me those are the two most powerful words on any team is you got to believe in yourself, but you got to believe in the guy sitting next to you, and you got to trust on game day that each guy's going to do his job.
Dom, thanks for the time and continued success.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure being with you.
Dom Capers, a true all-pro. We'll be back with more of Packers Today in just a moment.
In the early years, Vince wondered if Bart was actually mentally and physically tough enough to actually take the team and be the leader. But he was patient, and Bart continued to show that he was the one that could guide the team on the field. He had faith in him, he had confidence in him, because he continually proved that he was worthy of leadership. He was worthy as a passer, as a tough, mentally tough football player and quarterback.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tenderland. All right, Larry, it's time to look ahead. The Packers play host to the Dallas Cowboys next Sunday at Lambeau Field. Now, Dallas has lost 8 of their last 9, but if Thursday's game has taught us anything, it's that no win is easy to come by when it's December.
No, you're usually right. However, the Dallas Cowboys are without Tony Romo, their franchise quarterback. That changes that football team. They do have a good offensive line, they have a good running game, but it's a changed Dallas Cowboy team.
Larry's traditional scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau will return next Sunday.
Lauren, you gave me the week off.
You get the long week along with the team.
Thank you very much.
Well, in the meantime, let's scout the path to the playoffs in the NFC. Currently, Carolina and Arizona are the top 2 seeds and would each receive a first-round bye. Now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Packers would travel to Washington to take on the Redskins in the wild card round. Now, Larry, I want to know, if the Packers have 4 games left, including matchups against Cardinals and the Vikings, am I asking for too much and getting greedy if I want them to just get those the 2 seed?
I don't think you're asking too much because I have no idea what it would require to get the number 2 seed. I think what's important right now is how well the Packers are playing. And that's a down-to-down thing, a game-to-game thing. And if you're playing well enough, regardless of seed, we found that out back in 2010, All that stuff is great for us to talk about and for the talk shows to talk about. But as far as the locker room, the guys focus on the task at hand. That's what's important, and playing good football.
Well, there's something we've learned. It can come down to just one play.
Yes, it can.
Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Be sure to stay tuned to Packers.com throughout the week as we get you ready for next week's game against Dallas. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everyone.